The date was April, the year was 33. The place was an upper room in Jerusalem. It was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations to eat the Passover?" And so Jesus gave them instructions and they made sure that they followed them. Now, I'm not so certain that they really understood what they were about to partake of, but I am certain that they received far more than they ever expected. The Gospel of John tells us that on that evening at the meal, Jesus taught them many things. And as the meal was drawing to an end, while Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Do this in remembrance of me." The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That is what we call the Lord's Supper, communion. Now, the doctrine of the E-Free Church includes a statement regarding this very topic. And as part of this denomination, we understand this, that water baptism and the Lord's Supper are ordinances to be observed by the church during the present age. They are, however, not to be regarded as a means of salvation. Now, the topic of ordination, The topic of ordinances have caused numerous splits in the church. I believe that there have been more splits and denominations created over this topic than any other topic. So what exactly is an ordinance? Christians agree almost universally that baptism and the Lord's Supper were instituted by Christ and should be observed by the church today. And so the concept of ordinance essentially stresses obedience in doing that which Christ explicitly commanded. See, Jesus told us to do it, so we should be following what his commands are. It's a simple thing to understand, but yet it has been so contentious over the centuries. Questions about how do we do it? How often do we do it? Who is allowed to lead the ceremony? Where can it be done? They've all played bigger roles in causing division than they ever should have. In fact, personally, I believe that there should be union in communion, not separation in baptism. When we look at the first ordinance, being the Lord's Supper, or communion, it was given to us to join us together, not pull us apart. The supper itself consists of the breaking of bread, giving thanks, distributing it to the disciples, and doing the same with the cup. The purpose is to remind the believers of Christ's death on the cross and the redemption of sins through the shedding of blood. It's symbolic, a symbolic representation of the work that Christ did for all of us. And it's to be continued until his return, because he told us to do this until he returns. And Jesus instituted it as a joining factor that helps us remember not only his amazing sacrifice, the absolutely unbelievable gift that he gave us in that, but the indescribable love that Jesus showed for us. See, love is demonstrated most clearly when it is directed to those who deserve it the least. Now, Jesus provides a pattern for our prayers when he cried out on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Think about how Jesus died. He died on the cross, and in so he absorbed sin instead of spitting it back out, back into circulation. He defeated sin by refusing to pay back evil for evil. He gave victory over sin, death, and Satan. And the death of Jesus Christ is more than an example. It is an accomplishment. Now, the word communion means unity or spiritual union. And as we celebrate communion this morning, it's important for us to ask if we are actually in spiritual union with Christ, as well as with each other, with the church around us and the world. That is the one requirement for anyone who wants to participate in obeying Jesus by taking communion. You must believe and declare that Jesus is the Lord of your life and be in union with him. And so this morning I ask you this. Does Jesus occupy first place in your life? Am I in communion with him? John Piper writes these words, "The path of God-exalting joy will cost you your life. Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it." In other words, it's better to lose your life than to waste it. And this is not about how to avoid a wounded life, but how to avoid a wasted life. Some of you will die in the service of Christ. Let me tell you this, that is not a tragedy. Treasuring life above Christ, now that's a tragedy. Your real enemy is not the person who annoys you or seeks to annihilate you. The real enemy in your life is you. The real enemy in my life is me. Because Jesus died on the cross for your sin and my sin as a part of communion with him. And Jesus asks us to confess our sins to him. In John, or 1 John chapter 1, he wrote these words, "If we claim that we are to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Just a quick poll here. Raise your hand if you're a sinner. We are all sinners. So I ask you, take some time right now and confess any sins that God brings to your mind. And secondly, before we take communion, it's important to consider whether or not we are out of sync with our sisters and brothers in Christ. Are you in union with everyone of your brothers and sisters in Christ? If not, do what it takes to make things right by doing all things possible to live in peace. Make a bridge to that person. Don't wait for them to come to you. Now I want to read from 1 Corinthians. Paul read told us all about the Lord's Supper, and he ends off in this way. He says, "A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." So let's take a couple of moments as the elements are passed out to examine ourselves. And as they're being passed out, ask yourself, am I in communion with Christ? Am I in communion with everyone in this room? And on a very practical front, communion, the requirement for participation is so simple. You are required to be a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is no biblical requirement for you to be a member of a specific church. There is no requirement for you to be a specific age. But we do ask, if you are a parent, that you observe your children and supervise them to ensure that they partake in a respectful manner as a believing child of God. And here at Maranatha, we use, literally, crackers and juice. Not going to surprise anybody with this. Crackers and juice. The cracker is a symbol of the body of Jesus, which was broken for you. And the juice is a symbol of his blood that was freely given. For he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, that so that you and I would not have to do that. And that is why our doctrine states that the ordinance, both communion and baptism, are not regarded as a means of salvation, because you're already saved before you partake. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. It is found in only him. Let me be very clear on that. Taking the cracker or the juice or being baptized does not save you in any way. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And so this morning I invite you to participate in his table. Will the servers come at this time and we will hand out the bread. And as they hand it out, pass it down the aisle. We'll come together as one and we'll pray together as one body and partake together. And then we'll do the same with the cup. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body that was broken for us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for forgiveness. This we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blood that was spilt on the cross. And because of it, we can be forgiven. Forgive us, for we are sinners. Cleanse us from our unrighteousness. This we pray. Amen. The date was about 450. The place was Ireland. A story is told of the baptism of King Agnias by St. Patrick. And sometime during the ceremony, St. Patrick leaned against his sharp-pointed staff and inadvertently stabbed the king's foot. After the baptism was over, St. Patrick looked down at the blood and realized what he had done, and he begged the king's forgiveness. "Why did you suffer in pain in silence?" St. Patrick wanted to know. And the king replied, "Well, I thought it was part of the ritual." Well, Christ bled and died on our behalf, and thankfully we don't have to be stabbed in order to be baptized. Baptism is the second ordinance that we practice. And this is one that does not happen on a regular basis like communion, but one that is a once and for all for a believer. But it is one that should be practiced by all believers. This is one that does not happen regularly, but it is one that is just as important as communion. In Matthew chapter 3, we learn that John was baptizing people and calling them to repentance from sin. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?' And Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." You see, Jesus himself was baptized for the purpose of showing us that even the Son of God needs to obey what the Father desires. So if he did it, then we all should do it in order to please the Father. It's an outward symbol of the inward working of the grace of God in our lives. It is a once and for all ordinance. There's little need to be baptized more than once. With that said, guilty. I have been baptized twice. Baptism is a word which literally means to immerse. But it carries with it the idea of washing clean, as well as an action which is done out of devotion. And as a symbol of the death and the resurrection of Christ, it's quite easy to see when a believer is taken into the waters and immersed, and then comes up out of the water clean and new, just as Jesus went into the grave and went under and came up fresh and new, resurrected. Just as Jesus died and was buried and rose again, we not only died with Christ, but we have been buried with him. And this is symbolized with our baptism. Now, today is Pentecost. And it is on that day, 50 days after the Passover, that the church was given the Holy Spirit. And from that point on, as believers, the Holy Spirit at conversion has spiritually baptized us, and we express it publicly when we enter the waters of baptism. Baptism is burial, the burial of all that we were as children of Adam. And in baptism, we acknowledge that nothing in ourselves could ever please God. And so we are putting the sinful flesh out of God's sight forever. But it does not end with the burial. Not only have we been crucified with Christ and buried with him, but we have also risen with him to walk in newness of life. And all this takes place at the time of our conversion. Baptism is a symbol. It is not a magical rite, but an act of obedience in confessing our faith. Baptism symbolizes our experience of death to the sinful life and resurrection to the new. It is the outward expression of the inward experience. It's important to keep in mind that no outward ceremony brings us to Christ. The issue is whether or not we are born again, but whether we really know Christ as Savior. When you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. It is by this baptism that we are identified with Christ and we rise in him, joined to the living Christ. Folks, let me tell you this. Salvation is so simple. It's so simple. It's a simple step from sinner to saint. In order to obtain salvation, one must first acknowledge that they are a sinner. Now, I preemptively asked who's a sinner already today, and I'm pretty sure we all raised our hands because we all acknowledge that we are sinners. But there are people in this world that don't. But we must acknowledge that we are sinners. I am a sinner as well as every person in this room. Newsflash, you're not special if you sin. You're only special if you don't. And the only one who ever did that was Jesus. We all do it. The second step is acknowledging that God has stated that the price for sin is death, eternal death. And because we sin, we are doomed to hell for all of eternity. However, we don't have to be that way because Jesus died for our sins. Every sin that has or ever will be committed has the opportunity to be forgiven when we repent. You see, Jesus is an amazing guy. He's an amazing guy because he loves us so much that he went to the cross and paid for your sins and my sins. Every sin is paid for by him, and it's a free gift, a gift of grace. All you have to do is take it. The gift of salvation can be yours if you just acknowledge that you have sinned, that Jesus has already paid the price for you. You repent of those sins and ask him and make him your Lord and Savior. Done. So easy. Salvation is accomplished by the resurrecting power of God. It's not some philosophy. It's not some gimmick. It's not some little system. It's not the taking of some course that will enable you to live for God. It is your faith in God and the grace that he gives us. The Bible teaches us that you must believe first and follow with baptism. Baptism, like I said, is a public symbol of your faith in Jesus. And we believe with Jesus, it is one step from sinner to salvation. He commanded us to be baptized. It's not just, it's just one step from believer to baptism. And one of the greatest privileges, one of the absolute greatest privileges of being a pastor is the fact that I'm asked to baptize many. And today we have three baptisms. And there are some differences in each of the baptisms. Yet each one is done to symbolically show that the person being baptized has died with Christ and is rising again in salvation, declaring him as Lord to all of us. Jesus told his disciples as he was ascending to heaven that they were to preach the gospel, to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it is a privilege to be asked to baptize a believer. And if I'm honest, I would much rather baptize here than in the Jordan. I have done that. The Jordan's dirty and full of catfish. I'll be honest, I would much rather do it right here. It's a privilege to be asked to baptize a believer. And this morning we have three different styles of baptism. One is done by a father. And from experience that I have done, to baptize your own child is such an amazing privilege. A huge privilege to baptize your own child. I have had that privilege of doing all three of my children. I've also had the privilege of baptizing two of my nieces. But unfortunately, I don't think I will ever get the privilege of baptizing my nephew. Because his father is going to do that. And so this morning, Clayton, Zach, will you guys come this morning? Get in this beautifully 96 degree tank and be a part of this incredible experience.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a few questions, okay? Okay, what is your name?
Zach.
What's your full name?
Zachary Montegraciano Schneider.
Hey Zach, can you turn and face the mic?
The mic's right here. Okay. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Are you coming to be baptized of your own free will?
Yes.
And Zach, can you tell everyone why you want to be baptized?
Because I believe in Jesus.
Okay, good. Put your head in your nose. All right. Zachary Montague Theodore Schneider,
Based upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father,
of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I am looking for Elizabeth Cramp.
Oh.
A little envious that they're the ones getting dunked. This is nice in here. And what is your name? No, try again. What's your name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth what?
Darling Grace Cramp.
Okay. And is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And are you coming to be baptized of your own free will?
Yes.
And why would you like to be baptized? Because is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior and you want to follow him? Yeah. All right. Do you want to say your verse? Right here. Here's your verse. Say it nice and loud. Oh, I won't touch.
Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit.
Beautiful passage. All right. Hand off those glasses. You ready? Elizabeth Charlene Grace Cramp, based upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I'm going to call Jared. Where is Jared? There he is. Jared McGregor. Come on up front. And I said we've had three different styles this morning. One was by a father, dunked three times, once for each member of the Holy Spirit, or the member of the Godhead. We had one traditional immersion, just once. And this morning, Jared has chosen to be baptized by pouring. And so I have some questions for you. What is your name?
Jared Bradley McGregor.
And is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And do you come to be baptized of your own free will?
Yes.
And can you tell me why you want to be baptized?
Because I want to grow my faith deeper with God.
Excellent. Come around to the end of the tank. Jared Bradley McGregor, based upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning has been a wonderful morning, but I'm hungry. We have been fed spiritually this morning with the Lord's table. We have seen and partaken in baptism. It has been a wonderful Pentecost day. And so this day, I want to call the worship team forward at this time. We're going to be short a couple of the members of the worship team as they're getting dried and changed. But the rest of you, would you come at this time and lead us in our closing. Thank you.